So today we're starting the sugya of Simchas Yontif. Obviously, as you can see from the thickness of the Mar Makamos, that there's a lot to talk about when it comes to Simchas Yontif. But before we get there, we have to sort of bridge over from Chinuch to Simchas Yontif. So let's pick up again from the second line on Kuf Tes Amud Aleph. So the Gemara tells us, Amr Lavel Rabbi Akiva, Shei Mechali Kleis HaGozen L'Tinokos Barav Pesach, Kadei Shalei Yishnu V'Yishalu, that they say about Rabbi Akiva that he used to give out candies and nuts and these kinds of things on Erev Pesach to the children so that they shouldn't fall asleep, and that way they'll be able to ask questions at the Seder. Tanya, it's interesting that he would give out the candies on Erev Pesach. And the whole point was just to keep them awake long enough to start the Seder. Once the Seder starts, you assume that they'll be into it. Not giving our candies at the Seder, it's all in advance of the Seder. Tanya, Rabbi Lezer says, Chotfin matzos b'leile p'sachin. B'shvil tinoko shlishnu. We grab matzos on the night of Pesach for the children so that they don't go to sleep. So what does that mean? We grab matzos on the night of Pesach for the kids that they don't fall asleep. Take a look at Rashi. And as I told you, I hope you looked at this Gemara. I just told you to fill in the gap here a little bit, right? So let's just see what these words mean. Rashi on the top, chotfin matzah, magbin es ha-ka'ara b'shvil tinokos sheyishalu. We lift up the ka'ara so that children will see in the last questions, because it's weird to pick up the plate of matzah, all of a sudden you're picking up the plate, so children are going to say, why are you lifting that up? Why are you picking it up? V'istim afarish, chotfin matzah, ochlin maher, v'zeh aloshon ikr midmais yadur b'kiva ba'da. He says, the second possible interpretation is that it means we eat very quickly. That's what it means, chotfin matzah. Chotfin means grab it, mean grab and eat up right away. Why? So that kids will ask questions. How does that help the kids ask questions? Because if you make the Seder go more quickly, there's a better likelihood that the children will actually stay awake for the entire Seder. So it says, move the Seder along. Eat quickly, get it done, so that kids will be able to stay awake. They'll be able to make it through the entire Seder. So what's better, to have a Seder where the kids fall asleep at 11:30 and the Seder goes till 3, or have a Seder that goes till 11:30 and the kids fall asleep at 11:30? Seems like better to have the kids stay awake till 11:30 and have the Seder and then let them experience the entire Seder. That's the second interpretation of Rashi. If you look at the Rashbam, on Chotfin Matzah, long Rashbam, it's very wordy, like always. Magbina sakar bishvil tinokos sheyishalu, v'istim farshi chotfin matzah ochlin maher, shnei lishonos al pirush rabbeinu. Right, those are the two interpretations in Rashi. V'yesh korsin mitzvos, magbina sakar sheyesh ba matzah umarar ubeis tavshilin. Some of the girsa, not chotfin matzah, notice both Rashi and the Rashbam have a deeper maskal chotfin matzah. Our girsa is chotfin either matzos or mitzvos. There are two ways to read that word. But some say chotfin mitzvos, that you grab the mitzvos, meaning not just the matzah. Pick up the plate that has all the mitzvos, the matzah and the maror and the shnei tafshilin that relate to the chagiga and the karm pesach. So you want to pick up the plate full of mitzvos. V'linira chotfin, so how many interpretations so far? That's three, right? We have to pick up the matzah, we have to hurry up the meal, and we have to pick up not just the matzah, but the whole kara that has everything on it. V'linira chotvin misalkin es halecha miyara tinokos, shlo yushenu mitoch maichal harbe, kiderech hatinok achar achiloso v'shuv lo yishalu. And he says, I think a fourth possibility. What's the fourth possibility? Grab the food away from the kids. You don't want the kids to overeat, because what's a person's first inclination after you eat a big meal and you fill yourself up? First thing you want to do is, oh, I need a nap. You need to go to sleep. So you have you don't want the kids to all feel like they need a nap. So you starve them a little bit. Don't starve them, but you don't give them too much food. Aval achshav kishachotim me'an lo yishnu v'yishalu. Now that you're grabbing the matzah from them, so they're not going to fall asleep and they'll be awake to ask questions. Kolomar lo yishnu shloach l'kadei savan. They're not going to fall asleep because they didn't satiate themselves. V'yishalu kishayiru hashinuyim. They're not going to ask about the chotfin matzah. They're going to ask because they're awake. They're going to be awake because of chotfin matzah. So the meaning, he's trying to read it back into the Gemara. The Gemara says chotfin matzah b'leil pesachim b'shvil tinokos shlo yishnu. And if you would then add v'yishalu, if you were to then add the girsa v'yishalu, and they will ask. So v'yishalu is an outgrowth of it, but it's not directly related to the chotfin matzah. It's just once they're awake, they're going to ask questions. The way Rashi said, where you're magbiin es ha-ka'ara, they're asking questions about the chotfin matzah. right? But the way the second interpretation of Rashi, that you're eating quickly so that they can ask questions, they're not asking questions about the chotvin matzah, they're asking questions because they happen to be awake. And certainly, according to the Rashbam, they're asking questions because they happen to be awake, because you didn't overfeed them. That is all the interpretations that we find on the page for chotvin matzah. There is another interpretation, though, the Rambam. The Rambam in Chametz Matzah, Perek Zayin Halacha Gimel, writes, Chotvin Matzah, Zeh Miyad Zeh, that people grab matzahs from each other. What's the Rambam describing? What? The Afikoman. It's probably where our minute for the Afikoman comes. So you make a game out of it. Whether our game of Afikoman is exactly the game that the Rambam had, or a different game. But you make a game out of it. You make it entertaining. The evening should be an entertaining evening, that the kids should be excited. They should want to be interested in playing this game. So that's part of the excitement for the kids that you create, so that they will want to ask questions. Now Rashi is a little bit difficult, because Rashi says that the second interpretation of Rashi, that we want to rush the eating so that the kids will ask questions. When are the kids asking questions? The kids ask questions before you eat. If you're rushing the eating of matzah, well, then you're a little too late in the rushing department, because the kids should have been asking questions before you ever ate matzah. So I saw over here in the Masifta, he says, V'l'chor kasha, ma'inyin l'zaris z'achila, hari ikr shatinokos l'yishlum v'yishlum manishtana. The main point is that they should want to ask the manashtana. They should be motivated to ask the manashtana. How's that happening over here? Is that called the machil? It's before the eating. So he said a couple of ways to interpret Rashi. He gives three approaches. Number one, he says, the Mishnah Brura in Sivkot and Gimel explains that the kavana is, she is dariz lasa seder miyad, meaning that enochinami, by the time you're reading, it's too late to say, okay, now we'll rush it. But if the kids know going in that our Seder is a short Seder, that our Seder is manageable, that it's not just going to be, you know, everyone and their third cousins saying all the gematrias that they learned in whatever, that, you know, we're going to keep the Seder moving along. They know that that's the expectation, that the Seder is going to move in every which way. So then they're not going to fall asleep, and they'll stay engaged, and they'll ask the manashtana. So it's all about setting the expectation. The Sharat Zion has a different explanation based on a Rash Beitz. Umimaharim laha achila means that we give the children to eat early so that they don't fall asleep. Meaning, how does it work with the Seder? Typically speaking, we don't eat till very, very late at night. So children, though, just like we do on a late Shabbos sometimes, people will feed the young children early because it's very late for a child to eat dinner at 9 o'clock at night. So on the Seder, it's very late for a child to eat dinner at 11 o'clock at night, at 11:30 at night. So we'll give them a little something to eat in advance, but not too much, but we'll give them a little something to eat in advance so that they don't fall asleep. They should have what to look forward to. So keep their mouths going with food, and then they're not going to fall asleep. So it's almost like the opposite of the Rashbam, right? Where the Rashbam said, don't feed them too much. So you just keep throwing candies at them. Give them more and more and more, and then they'll stay awake. Third approach, he says, in the Sharat Siyun, is shemarim la'giyah la'achilas matzah k'dei sh'yiru atinoko sh'ochlim b'aseba v'yishlim adu adavka b'aseba. Meaning, the manashtana is really a little bit out of order. The fact that you're asking the manashtana before anything really happened is a little bit unusual, because how does a kid know? How does a kid know that you're dipping twice? You didn't do it yet. How does a kid know that you're leaning? You didn't do it yet. How does he know any of these things? He didn't see any of it yet. So, yeah, you rush the meal so that he'll see the whole thing. Let him see the entire Seder, and let him continue to ask questions about the entire Seder. So that's how they justify, or they explain, Shitas Rashi in what Chotvin Matzah means. Okay, so that's Chotvin Matzah. Vaiter in the Gemara, Tanya, Amru Alav al Rabbi Akiva, they said about Rabbi Akiva, Miyamav lo Amar Higia Islamud Bebesa Medrish, Chutz Me Arvi Psach Verv Yom HaKippurim. Rabbi Akiva never used to say it's time to leave the Beis Medrish, except for an Erev Pesach and Erev Yom Kippur. Why? Why dafka those days would he leave the Beis Medrash, Erev Pesach and Erev Yom Kippur? Be'erev Pesach, Bishvil Tinokos Kadesh L'Yishnu. On Erev Pesach, he would want to leave the Beis Medrash because he would have to make sure the kids don't fall asleep. And Be'erev Yom HaKippurim, and Erev Yom Kippur, you got to feed the kids. So that's why he would leave on Erev Yom Kippur. So let's take each of these independently. Again, before we move on to Simchas Yantiv, each of these two hanhagos, Erev Pesach, so that the kids don't fall asleep, and Erev Yom Kippur, so that you could feed the kids. So what does it mean? You're going to leave on Erev Pesach so the kids don't fall asleep. What are you going to do? You're going to dress like a clown and entertain them all day? How are you going to make sure the kids don't fall asleep? Yeah?
Doesn't Rashi say that so the kids would sleep during the day and not the night?
Oh, so that's, but understand, that's Rashi. The Gemara is could be read in any number of ways, right? So says Rashi, Chutz me'avrei Pesachim, k'dei she'yishnu aset tinokos b'yom v'lo b'lai l'b'shas Haggadah. The kid's going to have to sleep sometime. So if it's not going to be at 1 o'clock in the morning tonight, then it will have to be now. So you want to get home to get the kid to sleep during the daytime so that at nighttime he'll be able to stay up for the Haggadah. And that's the Minog Yisrael. We tell our children to take naps on the day before the Seder so that they'll be able to go to sleep, they'll be able to stay awake for the entire Seder. The adults too, right? But the adults don't need to be told. Inami, another possibility. What's that second possibility? He's saying a different interpretation. What does it mean? You get out of the base medrash so the kids don't fall asleep. What does it mean? If you stay until nighttime, after dark, then you shenem atinokos. By the time you get home, kids will already be sleeping. So he's saying rush out of shul on the night of the Seder. Finish davening early. Don't have a long, hour-long drasha between Mincha Marav and the first night of the Seder because you don't want to start the Seder too late. If you start the Seder late, by the time you get home, the kids are going to be sleeping already and then you'll have ruined the entire Seder. So you want to get out quickly. So, maybe we should get out really quickly then. Maybe we should just daven, make an early yantif. Be Mosef Michal al Kodesh and start early. That way we can start the Seder at, I don't know, at 6 o'clock or something. Right? Why don't we do that? So we can't do that either. Shulchan Aruch says that the Dalet Kosos all need to be done at night. So Kiddush has to be done at night. So it's Machlokes in the Nosei Kelim. Why Kiddush has to be done at night? I think we discussed this when we did Kiddush Makom Suda. Yeah. Either because Kiddush Makom Suda, the Suda has to be done at night, Matzah has got to be done at night. So Kiddush Makom Suda means that it's got to be in a Zman that's kosher for the Suda. Or because all the mitzvahs halayla have to be done at night, including Dalet Kosos, and the Kos of Kiddush is one of the Dalet Kosos, so you'd have to do that at night. Nafkamina would be, what if you say a super long Kiddush, so you start the Kiddush before nightfall and then you drink the Kos after nightfall. So if it's a din in the Dalet Kosos, you're fine, as long as the Dalet Kosos are after nightfall. But if it's a din in the Kiddush, so then it's not okay. The Kiddush has to dafka be done at night. But either way, you can't start the Seder till nightfall. You can't start till Tzeis HaChavim anyway. But it should be right away after Tzeis HaChavim. A lot of shuls don't do this right. They should probably, on the first night of the Seder, not hold the longest drush in the world. It should probably be something that gets everybody home at around Tzeis HaChavim. Not just to get everybody out of shul, after, so we get everyone home around then, and that way they'll be able to start the Seder immediately. At least in terms of the Seder, there are advantages in terms of Kriya Shema and everything else. Second night also, yeah. Although second night, the concern is Sfira Somer. Second night, everyone tries to be makbid that at least the first night of Sfira, not to get involved in any Sveikos, and to just do it after Tzeis HaChavim. So that's why the second night maybe is a little bit different also. But those are the two explanations Rashi gives. Why are you leaving the Beis Medrash on Erev Pesach? Number one, you're leaving to put the kids to sleep so that they can stay up at the Seder. Second possibility, you're not really leaving on Erev Pesach. You're leaving on the night of Pesach, but leaving right away on the night of Pesach instead of staying for a whole Seder Limud after davening is over on the night of Pesach. Which one sounds more, sounds like it fits with the words of the Gemara better? Which of those interpretations of Rashi? So what does it say in the Gemara? Yeah, so they won't sleep. Yeah, so you think that's better like the second one?
Yeah.
That they won't sleep because, according to the first one, no, Adrabi, you're leaving so that they sleep. Yeah. It's they won't sleep later on, but it's to put them to sleep right now. According to the second interpretation, it's so that they don't fall asleep. You want to get home so that they don't fall asleep. Good. That line certainly sounds more like second interpretation. How does that phrase start, though? When do you leave on Erev Pesach? When do you leave? Chutz mei Arve Pesachim. Except for Erev Pesach. Be'erev Pesach, b'shil tinok k'desh l'ishnu. When is Erev Pesach? Before Pesach starts. According to the second interpretation, when are you leaving the Beis Medrash? Right away when Pesach starts. Not really Erev Pesach. So the lashon of Erev Pesach sounds a little bit like the other way. So it's neither way is perfect. What about logically? Logically, which one makes more sense? Is there a logically compelling reason to say that, not even compelling, logically, is there any reason to say that the first interpretation is less desirable than the second, or vice versa?
Yeah. Because the wife could easily walk.
Yeah, maybe days. The husband's got to come home and put the kids to sleep. In those days, chances are husbands weren't putting kids to sleep. The wives were putting kids to sleep. No? So says Tosfos. Chutz mi'avei psachim. Hachi garis rabbein Shmuel. Veloni hira, da atzul lo yuchlu lishon below aviyem. A kid can't fall asleep without his father. You know, and people I know that only see their kids on Shabbos. They never put the kids to sleep. They're working in the office till 10 o'clock at night, and they see the kids on Shabbos. A guy told me once he took a later train into work one day, and his child said, "Oh, it's Shabbos." And he said, "No, why do you think it's Shabbos? Oh, because I see Daddy's home." So, thank God for Shabbos at least. But kids can fall asleep below Aviyam. They can fall asleep with, by the way, a consideration in choosing a profession, is if you want to see your children. So kids could fall asleep without their father. They could manage to fall asleep without their father. So he says, so that first interpretation doesn't sit well with me, says Tosos. V'tam sheni shapiri shemi ya'akfu ad sheyech shacharbei. So he says, but the second interpretation doesn't work either. Because why are they leaving on Erev Pesach? They should be leaving on Pesach, not on Erev Pesach. Lashon Erev Pesach doesn't work. Lekach nir degaris lele psachim, not Erev Pesach. What does he change? It's not Erev Pesach, it's lele psachim. It's on the night of Pesach. So the second interpretation is correct. Got to change the gear set to make it fit. And he says, and don't wonder about this. Why do they need to be told to get out of the Beis Medrash on, you know, right away after davening? Because you should know that was the custom, that they would hold a shir on Yontif nights. They would have a Seder Limud at that time. It was customary to do that. How do I know that? So Gemara in Beitza, Ma'isa B'Shem and Atim Yishaloba below Yomtov Beis Medrash, Lamach Matzah Rabbi Ben Bava. Rabbi Ben Bava noticed that that Shimon HaTimon didn't show up to the Beis Medrash to that on the night of Yontif, and he said, "Where were you? Everyone was in the Beis Medrash last night." So you see that at least that there was such a minhag that people used to learn at the Beis Medrash on the night of Yontif. So a person should not do that on the first night of the Seder, because you got to make sure to get home in order to make sure that the kids are still awake. Good. That's as far as Lele, as the night of Pesach goes. Okay, two interpretations of Rashbam. Tosfos says he likes the second interpretation. You just got to adjust the girsa from Erev Pesach to Lele Pesach. Great. What about the second halacha? Erev Yom HaKippurim, why? Kedei she'achilu es b'neihem. You need to get out of there in Erev Yom Kippur in order to give the kids what to eat. Anything bother you about that one? Yeah, two problems here. Two very fundamental problems. Kids don't have to fast, so why is it so important that the kids to go home and feed your kids? Kids don't fast. And second, although we learned yesterday that for chinuch, misana l'sha'os already at 9 and 10 years old, and at 11 and 12 years old, the kid is fasting. So maybe he's talking about kids who are fasting at least somewhat, or maybe even the whole day.
There is a mitzvah to eat.
Meaning you're feeding the kids. You're saying the reason you're feeding the kids, even if he doesn't have to fast, he still has a mitzvah to eat.
Yeah.
So you'd want to feed the kids. Hold on to that thought. And the second problem over here is Yachilus b'neihem. You have to eat. Well, Yachilus b'neihem. Forget about your children. What about you? You got to eat yourself. An Erev Yom Kippur. It's a mitzvah to eat Erev Yom Kippur. The Torah says that on Tisha B'Chodesh we're no inuit. So the Gemara asks in several places in Shas, what do you mean? Chibetisha Masanin? Valo Besar Masanin? We don't fast on the ninth day of Tishrei, we fast on the tenth day of Tishrei. Ella Kala Ochel B'Tshi is Kilu Masanin Tshi V'Asiri. That if a person eats on the ninth day, it's as if he fasted both the ninth day and the tenth day. But that's what the Gemara says. So there's a mitzvah to eat. And then for everybody, for you also, there's a mitzvah to eat. So why is it till the Kedei L'Hachlos B'nehem? So I saw some of the Achronim, I think I saw in here, I think Kitaka says in here, that, let me see it.
It could just be for Chinuch. That could be like, just you have to teach him that you have to eat Erev Yom Kippur, which is another mitzvah.
It could just be for Chinuch. Yeah, but why not mention yourself? that you have to eat also. You got to get home to eat. It's before Yom Kippur. Of course you have to eat before Yom Kippur. What? Ah, so that's what I saw somewhere here. I thought I saw someone said that, yeah, if you're a Talmud Chacham, Talmud Chacham is allowed to eat in the Beis Medrash. So, but the children aren't going to eat unless you get home and make sure that they eat. Now, L'chor Tosfos Kasha is still a good Kasha, though. Why not have the mother feed the kids? Kids eat all the time when their fathers aren't around. You need the father to be there in order for kids to eat? Ah, but if it's a father's mitzvah of chinuch, once it becomes a mitzvah to eat, see, when it's about putting the kids to sleep, Tosfos Bal Dabayi Kasha, because that's just a practical issue. That's not chinuch. It's just making sure they sleep so that they'll be awake later. But eating on Erev Yom Kippur, that's a mitzvah. So a mitzvah's chinuch is a mitzvah on the father. You want the father to be involved in the mitzvah directly. Now, going back to that other issue, though, he said that kids aren't going to fast, so why do you have to have them eat? So then Evan said, well, even if they're not going to fast, they still have a mitzvah to eat, because there's a mitzvah to eat on Erev Yom Kippur. That itself is somewhat debatable. There is a discussion in the Rishonim. Why is there a mitzvah to eat on Erev Yom Kippur? What is the reason for the mitzvah of eating on Erev Yom Kippur? So on the most simple level, the most logical explanation of what the mitzvah to eat on Erev Yom Kippur is, that the next day you're going to need your kaychis, you're going to be fasting, and you're going to be davening a lot, and you're going to be standing a lot, and it's going to be not such an easy day. So the best way to do the fast is by preparing properly for the fast. So you would need to eat on Erev Yom Kippur in order to prepare for the fast. Another possibility, maybe it's not a preparation for the fast. I think one of the Achronim, I think maybe the Sfasema says that Adraba, it's an Inui. Part of what we're supposed to experience in Yom Kippur, the main mitzvah is the mitzvah of Inui. What does Inui mean? That you're physically suffering on Yom Kippur. You know how to really physically suffer on a fast day? By overeating before the fast. If you eat too much before the fast, then you'll really be suffering on the fast day. So the way to enhance, not to prepare you and make it easier, the way to enhance your inui, to make you suffer real good, is by eating. Okay, that's a little bit of an unusual explanation. I think the standard explanation is either to prepare you for the fast, or the other possibility that they generally say when you say over the schakira, is that it's not about the fast day, it's totally independent of the fast day. The mitzvah of eating is totally independent of the fast day. It's a mitzvah to eat on Erev Yom Kippur. Maybe because it's like a shtickl sudas yantif, that you can't have a sudas Yom Kippur's yantif. It's a very happy day. This is one of the happiest days on the Jewish calendar. So normally when we express simcha, how do we express simcha? We eat, we drink. But you can't do it on Yom Kippur. So when are you going to have your sudas yantif? So we just shift the sudas yantif to the day before. But it's really independent of the fast per se. It's just that it's celebrating the Suda on the day before the Yantif for the impending kapara that we're going to get. L'may nafka mina, whether it's a preparation for the fast day or whether it's just celebrating the Suda. So there are four or five different nafka minas, if not more, that are mentioned in the Achronim. What if you have a person who's a chola, who the doctors say he's not allowed to fast in Yom Kippur? So what do you say? If the whole reason to eat on Erev Yom Kippur is to prepare you for the fast, well, if you know you're not going to be fasting, then there's no mitzvah to eat on Erev Yom Kippur. But if the mitzvah to eat on Erev Yom Kippur is Sudas Yantiv, that that's a day that we're supposed to have a special Suda, so then you would have a special Suda, even if you're not going to fast on Yom Kippur itself. Right? That would be one afkamina. So when you talk about children who are not going to fast, and Evan said just Misfara, yeah, they're not going to fast, but they still have mitzvah to eat. Well, maybe yeah, maybe no. Maybe someone who's not going to fast doesn't have a mitzvah to eat on Erev Yom Kippur. Maybe that mitzvah is only for somebody who's going to fast.
I was like, even according to the one who says that the reason is that not to get you prepared for the fast, is the mitzvah to fast, I mean, one like whole duty, if you fast a full day, if you fast, let's say,
well, there's chinuch l'shaos that we discussed yesterday. There's nisra chila as well. Yeah, so he avoided the isra chila for that entire time. I don't think so.
Is it a mitzvah to eat all day?
What?
Is it a mitzvah to eat all day?
That may be daf kamina also. If it's a din preparing for the fast, eat as much as you can. If it's a din of sudas yantif, so have a big suda. You don't have to keep on eating. So that would be nafka mina number two. What about women? Do women have to eat an Erev Yom Kippur? Rabbi Kiveg discussed this in the tshuva. there was a woman who was very ill, and the doctor said that she's not allowed to eat. It was the opposite. She was not allowed to eat. So she wanted to eat anyway, against the doctor's orders, because there's a mitzvah to eat on Erev Yom Kippur. So she said, I don't care what the doctors say, I need to eat because it's a mitzvah. So they said, you're crazy, you're going to die. For the mitzvah of eating on Erev Yom Kippur, you're willing to die? That's crazy, that's against the halacha, you're not allowed to do that. So she said, I don't care, I'm allowed to do it, because I'm very religious, I'm very righteous, I want to do it. So they said, what if we send a letter to Rabbi Akiva Eiger and he says that you're crazy? Would you then not eat? She said, yeah, send a letter to Rabbi Akiva Eiger. So it wasn't much of a shaila. They said to Rabbi Akiva Eiger, should this woman not eat and live, or should she eat and die? So he said, probably she should not eat and live. But once he was writing the tshuva, he says, and anyway, the whole discussion about whether women are supposed to, it's not so pasha that women are even chayiv in this mitzvah, that she's willing to give her life for, this mitzvah of eating on Erev Yom Kippur, I'm not even sure that women are chayiv in it in the first place. Why wouldn't they be chayiv? See, if it's a mitzvah to prepare for the fast day, so then women are going to be chayiv because they're chayiv in the fast day. But if it's tam, a separate mitzvah of eating on Erev Yom Kippur, that is a classic mitzvah saseh, shazman grama. So melei bipater. So this is not so pasha that women are going to be chayiv. So that's nafkamina number three. Nafkamina number four. What about, what should you eat? What types of food should you eat? So if it's a dinner preparing for the fast day, load up on water, Powerade, whatever, carbs. Nothing spicy, pasta, yeah. Nothing spicy, nothing salty. That would best prepare you for the fast day. But if it's about celebrating Suda, barbecue, I don't know, have delicious meat and wine and whatever. It's you would eat the exact opposite things. So that may be not enough. What a person should eat. Potentially enough, kamina might be.
Suda's
mitzvah. That may, well, either way, it's a mitzvah to eat. So, would the Suda be defined as Suda's mitzvah that would get Shir Malas? That may be nafkamina. And if it's about preparing for the fast, so it's not really a Suda's mitzvah, it's just that you need to prepare yourself for the fast. It's like a Hechshir mitzvah. Whereas if it's, you see, Kiddush is probably about the Kiddush as Hayom, so you probably wouldn't say Kiddush anyway. Do you have a chiv to wash, right? What about the night before Erev Yom Kippur? The night time. So as preparation for the fast, probably not doing very much the night before. But if it's the mitzvah of having a suda on that day, so it is that calendar day, it is Tisha B'Chodesh, so maybe it's an independent mitzvah just to have a suda on that day. So lots and lots and lots of nafkaminas. The poskim talk all about this. This is a fun topic about achil. But you led me right into it with the discussion of the children. As be mechanich the children, maybe even if they're not going to fast, you still want to be mechanich the children. Now, pashlus, if they are fasting, so then of course you have to be mechanich the children to eat on Erev Yom Kippur if they're going to be fasting. If you're talking about 11 and 12 year old kids, you certainly need to do it. Good. Okay, that's the sugya before Simchas Yantos. Now let's get into Simchas Yantos. Just wanted to fill in that gap a little bit because some geshmak in Yanu. Okay, Tanu Rabbanan. So right off the bat, what do you get out of this first line of the Braisa? When we talk about the mitzvah of Simchas Yantov, are we dealing with mitzvah Daraisa or mitzvah Drabana? So how do you get that it's Daraisa? Right off the bat, the Gemara quotes a pasuk. V'samachta b'chagecha. What is the full pasuk? So in the side of my Gemara, v'samachta b'chagecha ata uvincha uvitecha va'avdecha va'masecha va'levi va'ger va'yosem va'almana asher b'shorecha. Who has to do this mitzvah of Simcha? Everybody. You, your son, your daughter, your servant, your maidservant, the Levi, the Ger, the orphan, the widow, everybody b'sharecha.
Is that pasuk assuming you're not a Levi?
Yeah, why the Levi is listed separately is a good question. But everybody's included in this mitzvah, from this pasuk. B'mem Simcha. How do you do this mitzvah? What are we misamech them with? The yayin. You misamech them with yayin. Right away, it seems to have well, even before we got to Bamem Samchem, when a woman has a chiyuv, let's say a woman has a chiyuv to count shiva nikiyim after she becomes a nida. So you know how it says the chiyuv in the Gemara, in the Shulchan Aruch, chayev isha lispar shiva nikiyim. A woman is chayev to count shiva nikiyim. If a woman has to be mafresh chal, chayev es lafresh, she has to be mafresh. Mvareches, she says a bracha. That's the way you would formulate a chiyuv for the woman, that she has to do it. Are women chayev in simchas yantiv? So from this Gemara, and we said, Bana b'nei beso, and the pasuk spoke about bincha bitecha, your daughter, almana, women are included, right? So clearly it's talking about women, but look how it says the chiyuv in the Gemara. Chayev adam lisameach, Bana b'nei beso. The Gemara doesn't say that they are chayev. It says that you have a chiv to be misameach them. Gemara says this more explicitly elsewhere. That maybe they don't have a chiv. It's your chiv to take care of them, to make sure that they experience simcha. That's different. That's a little bit different. Right? You see the difference? What's the raya that it's not their chiv? What does the pasuk say? Who are you being misameach? Huh? Can you? Kabbalas? Women don't have a chelik in the kabbalas?
It's the same way a husband is sort of like
a woman can bring carbon. Let that woman can bring carbon. Let the kohen be her shaliach like he is for Israel. Why not? Look at the pasuk. What does the pasuk say? Is the machmach gecha who? Ata, yeah, no, what's next? Vincha Vitecha. Who are Vincha Vitecha? What? How old? Who knows? It doesn't say. Is it over Bar Bas Mitzvah? Why not? Yeah, because that's Ata. Right, over Bar Bas Mitzvah, they're Chayiv Mitzvahs, right? So who is it? It's Ketan. Wow! Ketanim are chayiv in a mitzvah midoraisa? This is the only one, then. Ketanim are never chayiv in a mitzvah midoraisa. We have mitzvah of chinuch, midrabanan, we spent a week and a half talking about it. With some breaks, but, you know. The chayiv in mitzvah midrabanan, they're not chayiv in mitzvah midoraisa. So clearly, at least in terms of banav, bincho bitecha, it's obviously got to be talking about chayiv on the man to feed them, or to be misamech them rather, and not the chiv on the person themselves. So maybe by the woman also, it's chiv on the man, not a chiv on the woman, and that's why it says chayiv adam lisamech. How do we give them simcha? Because that's the chiv. Sounds like, yeah.
For all ages. Not Yilchinuch. We've been thinking in the scope of Yilchinuch, but it says your son and daughter, so maybe even a little baby. That also
good, maybe even not a Yilchinuch. Why? What's the svara? Why would you have a Chiv d'oraisa? You're right, because once we're talking about Chiv d'oraisa, so it's not Chinuch anymore. We're talking about something bigger than Chinuch. We're talking about Chiv d'oraisa. So it might even include kids who are not a Yilchinuch. Why? What's the svara? For this din d'oraisa to feed kids, or to be misameach children. Torah says so. Is Gzeres Kasev no svara at all? My son asked Rav Avram Shor in Shabbos. My 10-year-old said, "Is he 11? No, he's 10." He said, "Whoops." He said, "I don't understand. Why is it if you have two bar mitzvah boys that testify to something?" And Moshe Rabbeinu testifies against them, that we believe them and not Moshe Rabbeinu. How does it make any sense? Two little schnook bar mitzvah boys, you're going to believe them against Moshe Rabbeinu. He was very bothered by that. So Rav Shor said, it's Gzeres HaKasa. So is that what you say the same over here? Why does it make any sense for kids to be happy on Yantif? Chivda rice and make kids happy. Gzeres hakasa.
I'm saying, in terms of like a svar of why it makes sense, generates simcha throughout the family.
And therefore, how would that affect you?
It affects the whole family, every single person.
If the kids are unhappy, then everyone's going to be unhappy.
Right. If you've ever been in a house where the kids are in bad moods, everybody's in a bad mood. And to the contrary, when a kid is being really cute and funny and happy and in a good mood, it's contagious. So if you want to experience simcha, it's an amazing thing. If you want to experience simcha, by focusing inwardly only on yourself, you will not experience simcha. Maybe a little bit, but to really experience simcha, banav b'nei beso, got to make sure everybody's happy if you want to experience simcha. Great, so how do you do that? Okay, so that's step one. But how do you do that? B'mem esamcham, what do we do to make them happy? Says the Gemara, be yayin, get everybody drunk. The three-year-old, the almana, the yasam.
So you don't have to be drunk there.
Drinks all around. What?
So you don't have to be drunk there.
Oh, well, you also. You have it's ato also. But yayin is what does the trick.
Why would it be that person also?
Because the pasuk says, "Smachta b'chagecha ata." So whatever this simcha is, it should be done for everybody. Tanakama is this very unusual shita. How do we do this for everybody? Yayin. Now, if I would have asked you before you saw that line in the Tanakhama, how do you make everybody happy? What's the mitzvah of simcha in the Torah? How do you do the mitzvah of simcha in the Torah? So you probably would not have said yayin for everybody. You would have said one of two things. If you would, right, one logical possibility is to each his own, whatever makes everybody happy. The other logical possibility is if you're going to have a standard that clearly defines simcha, it's not going to be yayin. It's going to be Shalmei Simcha. There's a karban that's actually called Shalmei Simcha. Because the whole purpose of the karban, when you're Ola Regal, you bring that karban, is to achieve Simcha. So I'll say, bring your Shalmei Simcha and eat your Shalmei Simcha. That will fulfill Simcha. So to say Yayin is surprising. Why would anyone say Yayin over here? It seems very surprising that we would say Yayin. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Rabbi Yehuda says, Anashim Broilehem, Anashim Broilehem. Everybody with what makes him happy. Teach his own. Anashim Broilehem, B'yayin. It's very interesting. Anashim Broilehem, you then have to tell me? What do you mean? Maybe some guys like wine, some guys like coffee, some guys, I don't know, whatever makes him happy. No. What's normal for men is wine. V'nashim B'mai, Satan Rav Yosef, B'bavel, B'gdei Tzavonim, B'eret Tzol, B'gdei Pishim Gwatsim. Whatever the stylish clothing are of that town, that's what you do. Now this brisa that we just quoted, where the Tanakhama says B'yayin, Rabbi Yehuda says everyone with what makes him happy, is that talking about nowadays, or is that talking about when we had a Beis Hamikdash? What did you think? Right, most Mesavim are talking about nowadays. Haraya, it didn't mention Shalmei Simcha, right? So it's got to be talking about nowadays. Is it talking on a Daraisa level or on a Darabana level?
Maybe there's differentiates between being in Bavel and being in Israel. Isn't that also on a Daraisa?
Okay, well, people could have lived in Bavel at the time of the Beis Hamikdash also. So, what? Sounds Daraisa. Why? Pasuk. Samach to Bechagecha. So, it's talking about Daraisa, and it seems to be talking about Zman Hazeh. So, if you were to grapple with the question, is there a mitzvah of Simchas Yom Tov Mido Oraisa Bezman Hazeh that we don't have Shalmei Simcha? This price sounds like a resounding yes. Because it's telling me based on the Samachta B'chagecha, and it's not mentioning the Shalmei Simcha, so it's probably Bizman Hazeh. Good. Then the price goes on. We have another price. Tanya, Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira Omer, Bizman Shabbos Mikdash Kayam Ein Simcha Ela B'Basar. When the Beis Hamikdash was around, the only Simcha is with Basar. Finally, the Shalmei Simcha made their way into the sugya. This is the mitzvah of Simcha. Shalmei Simcha is the starting point of everything. Now we have, in the Brisa finally mentions, that when the Beis Hamikdash was around, the only Simcha is Bebasar. How do I know? Shecht the Shlamim, eat it and experience Simcha. What if I eat other meat? Is that the mitzvah of Simcha? What?
Sounds
sounds like not, because it's quoting a pasuk that tells me about the Shalmei Simcha. So the mitzvah of Simcha is with Shalmei Simcha. Now that there's no Beis HaMikdash, Simcha is only with wine. Because there's a pasuk. Where's this pasuk? Important. Tehillim, not in Torah. Pasuk says wine makes a person happy. From this brisa, Bizman Azeh, Simcha Daraisa or Drabanan? Why do you say Drabanan? Right. Sounded like when you could experience the way the Pasuk tells you to experience it, that was when the Beis HaMikdash was around. The way the Pasuk wants you to experience Simcha is with Shalmei Simcha. And that was when the Beis HaMikdash was around. Nowadays, we don't have a Beis HaMikdash, so what do we do? Yayin. Why? Because there's a Pasuk in Tehillim that tells us wine makes you happy.
Also read it the other way.
Yeah?
Saying, it's derisive to be Messiah. How did you do it back then? We were able to do it with meat, and now we do it with wine.
The mitzvah is simcha. Love dafka, the karban. When you have the ability to bring karban, it's a karban.
Because the best way. This is now
we do secondarily. Okay, good. According to this Gemara, Bismana said, does it make sense to eat meat on Yantif?
No.
Right, l'chora not. Unless, what's the justification you can make for eating meat on Yantif? Let's love dafka wine. Well, according to pasuk, so it sounds dafka.
No, the pasuk sounds like it's meant to say. You might say that wine you can bring simcha. So you say no, wine brings simcha, but not
to exclude pasuk. Right. The only counterpoint would be ein simcha ella b'yayin. The lashon is pretty strong. Although you could argue that that's just the Gemara using a parallel lashon. Because then you need to only have basar, so we use the parallel lashon, but it's maybe lav dafka. But we never like to say that.
That you could say that.
Perhaps it's the basar comes. There isn't any basar still. But
is there?
The basar is only for the suda. Like, there's no suda without meat. Like, you don't have suda without meat.
So it's not a din simchus yantiv, it's a din sudas yantiv.
Now it's not enough.
What's the din sudas yantiv come from? Where does sudas yantiv come from?
Simcha.
So it is din simchus yantiv.
The two different, meat is not, because there is an inyan of simcha suda, right?
Meaning
the meat, the only way to achieve the simcha suda is through meat, because what's the point? No.
Okay, meaning the din of Simchas Yantiv is to eat things that objectively just make you happy, and to have a suda. Now, part of the definition of suda is meat.
Like, what are you going to have?
Okay. Okay. Could be.
Or you also read that ancient El Basar, it's all meat, but just Shlomim is the best meat. Like, that's like the.
Okay. So, meat in general is Mesameach, and that hasn't changed. But Shlomim is the best meat. What's true Simcha? How do we define simcha? Why is it that wine is misameach? I mean, why not? I don't know. I really like coffee. Is coffee misameach?
It loosens you up. Coffee makes you tense.
It loosens you up. It actually changes your mental state. It changes your emotional mental state. And basar? What about basar? You eat a steak. It changes your mental emotional state? Not really. Just you like it. Tastes good. But yayin is different. What about shalmei simcha?
That proves that basar does mean simcha.
Yeah, but it's Shalmei Simcha. Meaning, where is the Simcha in the Basar? Is the Simcha in the Basar in the fact that you're eating it, or in the fact that you're being makrim? Yeah. Meaning, it could be the experience of giving, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, of giving a carbon, bringing a carbon, is a spiritual rejuvenation. I told my high school told me them today that picture two guys. One guy spends his day going to it's the really good restaurant on Central Avenue that didn't let us in that day. Bistro, right, okay. So, one guy goes to Bistro and he enjoys a really, really delicious steak. Yeah, I mean, he took the wrong semester off. one guy goes to Bistro and enjoys a really delicious steak. The other guy goes in and volunteers. The guys were going to do a chesed wedding. You ever do it when you were in high school, DRS? Chesed wedding? So what do you do at a chesed wedding? You work as a waiter the whole time. You're dancing for people you don't even know. You're working like a dog, essentially, at a chesed wedding. Who's happier at the end of the day? The waiters at the chesed wedding are happier by a lot.
That's who we want to hear.
What?
The chesed wedding is very happy.
No. Granted, I'm saying between the guy who sat at bistro and the guy who attended the chesed wedding, who's happier at the end of the day? The guy who attended the chesed wedding is happier at the end of the day. Real simcha doesn't necessarily come from just eating. It needs to be either spiritual or mind-altering. So wine is mind-altering, and sometimes in a spiritual way. And giving is a spiritual kind of simcha. So could be the basar, the simcha of basar is not a basar per se. It's enjoyable basar, that may not be simcha, that may just be oneg.
So what
should
I specify the language?
Sherem Arab is a Vachta Shlomim.
Yeah, but why not just qualify the
Basra? Could be. You could be right. You could be right. Now, where all of this is leading us is to the Rambam, obviously. Right? The Rambam in Hilchos Yom Tov, Parag Vav, says all the days that we have to be Mesameach. And very interesting in Halacha Yud Zayin. He clearly formulates the mitzvah of simcha of being to make sure everyone around you is happy also, for the reasons that we said. And again in Halacha Yudches, that simcha is not about taking care of yourself, it's about taking care of everybody else around you. But he happens to mention along the way that Anashim Ochlin Basar V'Shosin Yayin Shein Simcha El B'Basar V'Ein Simcha El B'Yayin. Men eat meat and drink wine because simcha is with meat and wine, which sounds different than the Gemara, because the Gemara said the Bismach Beis Hamikdash Kayim was only meat. Now it's only wine. Achronim have several approaches to be miyashiv that Rambam. We'll take a look at those be'ezrat Hashem tomorrow. So again, take a look at the. I'm sure you've gotten far already, but you go Beis Yosef and further. And go from there.
Keep going.
Yeah.